Well, I'd like to write the subject on the board this morning. Greatest commandments. I'd like to start in the 22nd chapter of Matthew and the 35th verse, Matthew 22 and 35. It says, "Then one of them which was a lawyer asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And this passage continues to outline the greatest commandments of all. And that is that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Applying this in our lives arguably affects almost every area of our life. Something that I want to pay close attention to. And it's also something that in turn reminds us of the hope that is central to the gospel message. And that is of the great love of Jesus Christ. That is of the great compassion and faithfulness of Jesus, who came and gave His life, who sacrificed His place in heaven, sacrificed His life here on earth, that we might have hope, that we might experience salvation. And it was because of the great love of Jesus Christ that He did that. And with this preface, I would like to now turn and reflect on the passage in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And that's where our message will be taken out of this morning. And we won't read the whole chapter, but I'd like to read a portion of it, a good portion of it. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." And the last verse in this chapter says, "And now abideth faith and hope and charity, these three. But the greatest of these three is charity." This morning I am impressed to reflect on the most basic, fundamental attribute of Christ that the Lord would like to see emanate from our lives to a lost world in which we live, and to those that are close to us, to our family, to our neighbors, to our church family, to those that we work with, and that is the great love of God. I believe this morning that by exhibiting true love, we can best resemble Jesus to those that we are around. And before we go any farther, I want to say this. To the faithful and loving mothers that are here today, that are in the midst of rearing your children, that show love and care and tireless devotion, who sometimes I suspect wonder what, if anything, you are accomplishing. I want to tell you this morning that what you are accomplishing is that you are showing the love of Jesus. You are teaching your children what the love of Jesus looks like and what the love of Jesus feels like to your children. And there is no greater calling in life that you can fill than to show your children the love of Jesus Christ and to teach them that. And to the faithful fathers that are here this morning, that with care and love and interest are supporting your family, providing security, setting boundaries with love and with care, you too are demonstrating the attributes of God and helping your children get a picture in their formative years, a little bit of what Jesus is and who God is. And it makes a far bigger difference than I believe we sometimes realize when we are at that time of life that is so busy, can be so tiring. Sometimes we have a difficult time seeing whether or not there's any fruit that is even coming from our labors. But I want you to know this morning that there indeed is fruit. And there are seeds that are being planted that will forever be in the hearts of your children and those that you have influence over, that the Lord is able to work with for years to come in ways that we are never able to work. Be encouraged this morning that showing the love of God and the love of Jesus to your families, it is difficult to find a greater calling than that. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I can't. There are those that can deliver the best sounding messages, be able to reach people of all languages in the world to the place that they understand what it is that I'm saying, be able to use the languages that I know and formulate sentences and paragraphs with the tongues of angels. And yet, if I don't have love, if I don't have charity, it becomes noise. It's just noise. You know, there are people that perhaps you can lose confidence in when repeatedly you hear them say one thing and then live another. You ever seen that before? You hear one thing, you see something else over and over and over again. And pretty soon what happens is their words and what they say lose their meaning, and it becomes as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, just becomes noise. And so it is regarding our ability to reach other people. If we don't have love, folks, if we are not able to reach other people with the love of God, then what we have to offer can become just noise without substance, sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, we can have great wisdom. We can have all knowledge. We can have even the type of faith that allows us to overcome great difficulty in life. We can have the most ardent belief and trust in the Scriptures. But in the end, it doesn't mean a whole lot if we don't have love. If charity is absent, if love is absent, if people can't feel our genuine concern and love, we can have all of these great things. Paul picked those things that we look up to. Prophecy, all knowledge, all faith so that we could move mountains. And he said, all of those things is virtually not worth anything to you if you cannot live your life with love and with charity and with care and concern that reaches where other people live. And it keeps getting closer. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, it profiteth me nothing if I don't have charity. I personally am profited very little if I don't have charity. Somebody said it another way. They said, though I give up my body in great ways so as to have cause to boast, it doesn't profit me anything. I might be able to have a lot of willpower. I might be so focused. I can be so focused on sacrifice and giving to other people, and yet all the while, my real motive is almost so that I might have cause to justify my own salvation. Do you believe that? Do you know that that's true? Other people benefit from things that we give. If they're hungry and I give them something to eat, they benefit from that. And the Lord wants them to be benefited from those things that we give. But Jesus Christ this morning, folks, wants more than religion. The Lord wants more than just sacrifice. Paul brought it down to the point where he described the thing that would almost be the most difficult thing that we could give, and that is our body to be burned. And he said, even if you give your body to be burned, and if you give all of your goods, this said all, I think, didn't it? And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, if I give everything, and yet I don't have love, I don't have charity, my motives are not driven by the love of Jesus Christ in my heart. People feel that. People pick up on that. People feel a difference when you hand them something and yet you're looking the other way. People want to know that you care. People want to feel loved. And God wants us as Christians to be able to demonstrate Christian love. And though I give my body to be burned, I have not been asked to do that. But I have been asked by Jesus Christ to demonstrate His love to the world and be a light that accurately represents who He is. And I want to do that. Jesus is looking for people that demonstrate a Christ-like spirit that reflects who He is. So what does a Christian with godly love look like? Somebody Wednesday night here began to quote some of these verses to us. Let's read some of these. Charity suffereth long. Charity allows those things that are unpleasant to the flesh to exist for a long time. It gives a lot of space. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity is kind even in the presence of people that are unkind. True love. Kind. Not just when you're asked, but real love takes note of those that are in need and is kind when you don't have to be, when you're not called upon. Charity envieth not. You don't look on people that have success and your thought is envy, but you're happy. You're happy for them. You're glad to see people have success. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity does not put itself out in the front. Charity, a person with love, is not rash in its judgments of other people and ready to cut people off. But charity is kind. It's slow to anger. Doesn't put itself out in front. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. People that are full of the love of God don't, as a practice and on purpose, behave out of order, unseemly, unlike Jesus Christ. Obnoxious, routinely, likes to be in the front, stir the pot, know how to cause dissension. People that have the love of God in their hearts, those aren't things that they do. Seeketh not her own. Looks on the needs of other people. Is not easily provoked. How long does it take you to be provoked? Have you ever met somebody that you know when you approach them that there's somebody that you have to approach carefully? Have you ever heard the term, you have to walk on eggshells around somebody? You know what that means? That means if you're walking on eggshells and you don't want the eggshells to crack, you better walk softly. Because their eggshells easily crack. And so thus the phrase, you have to walk on eggshells. There are those that are easily provoked. It doesn't take much. You say the wrong thing and you set them off. they're not easily entreated. Maybe there's something that you'd like to talk to them about that's a difficult conversation. But you realize going into it that you better be real, real careful in how you approach them, because if you say the wrong thing, accidentally meaning the best, they are easily provoked. But this scripture teaches us that the Lord has a place for us where we're not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Is anybody here challenged yet this morning with these verses? I am. I don't feel like I've arrived. I read these verses about charity and love, and I find that I need more of the love of God in my heart. I want to demonstrate more love to other people by the conduct of my life. We can become so carried away with things. We can become so carried away with ourselves. We can become so fixated on religious activities that indeed are important and God expects from us. But if we are not very careful, we can miss the essence of the hope of the gospel message that Jesus Christ brought to this world. For God so loved the world, He so loved us, that He gave the most important thing that He had. The Lord wants His love to be such in our lives that we too are willing to give. Those things that are important to us in life, that we might be able to reach a hurting people. You know, one of the easiest things a Christian can say to another Christian is, you just need to forgive. You just need to turn the other cheek. You just need to be able to bear an injustice without wanting to get even. That's some of the easiest things for a Christian to say to somebody else, because we know that's Bible. Just turn the other cheek. Just be willing to forgive. Just be willing to bear this injustice without wanting to get even. But one of the hardest things to do is to forgive and to turn the other cheek. And to bear an injustice without wanting to get even when it's you that's involved. And yet, I am responsible for my life. And the Lord is calling me to be a Christian. It's easy to say these things, but it's hard to live out. I remember when I was in the sixth grade, the fifth and the sixth grade, it was our math teacher. And our math teacher had a saying that was prominently displayed at the front of the classroom. And if you behaved yourself unseemly and with a less than adequate measure of maturity, maybe we're not responsible as you ought to be as fifth and sixth graders, then she didn't mince a lot of words. She would just look at you and say, give me two. And what she meant was, you write that sentence down two times and bring it to me so that I can see it. And if you don't write it down in a mature way, she wouldn't mince words again and she'd say, make it four. And if you were smart about it, smart aleck about it, it might quickly become, make it eight. And the sentence went something like this. Maturity is the ability to do a job, whether supervised or not. Finish a job once started. The ability to bear an injustice without wanting to get even. It didn't just say the ability to bear an injustice. It said the ability to bear an injustice without wanting to get even. Now, this may not reflect very well on me as a fifth and sixth grader that this many years later I can still quote you what that sentence said. I had some practice. But I never forgot it. It has stayed with me my whole life, the ability to bear an injustice without wanting to get even. I believe that this is the beginning of spiritual maturity. To be able to be a Christian with a type of love in our hearts that when we are crossed, we do not feel the need to try to even the score. Did you know that as human beings, it's easy for us to do that? Somebody slights us. Somebody says something to us that moves us in a negative manner. And it is a natural tendency for us to find a way to say something in return or to catalog that in our minds. I'll get you in a little bit. And at first opportunity, we slip something in to try to even that score. We can do that with our spouses. Our spouse says something, does something, and we can think, okay, and it's really easy to do something back. Somebody at work, at school, a brother or sister in the congregation, somebody slights you a little bit, and then we catalog it. And then we help make the thing right. We even the score and we say, well, I'm not trying to do anything wrong. I'm just saying it the way that it is. Sometimes we don't need to say it the way that it is. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to bear an injustice without wanting to get even. Life is not intended to be a competition with winners and losers. That is not what the Lord wants for us, to try to establish ourselves as a winner and somebody else as the loser in our interaction with each other. But rather that we would help each other navigate life so that we can all finish well. Charity, love, having Jesus Christ in our lives, let's give each other a lot of space, room to grow. Let's give each other space to fall and learn. Don't we want that space afforded to us when we fall? When we err? Maybe we're not at the same place in our faith. Maybe we haven't come to the knowledge of truth yet. Maybe to the extent that somebody else has. Let's give each other space. Let's give each other room to grow and to fail without discounting other people. I'm glad that the Scripture says His mercies are new every morning. Well, what about ours? Are our mercies new every morning? May God help us. If we have religion only to offer and not godly love, we simply are not going to be able to draw a lost and hurting world. Those that need Christ the most, we're not going to be able to win them with the message of consistent judgment. Yes, there's judgment. Yes, it's part of the gospel. Yes, it needs to be preached. But let's also never fail to forget, to remember that Jesus Christ came in love to save those that were lost. And He draws people not with judgment, but with love. I want to have the love of Christ in my heart and in my life. I've seen highly religious people who lack the Spirit of God, and I wasn't drawn to it. It didn't encourage me to improve my life to emulate them. And I don't think that it encourages or draws other people either when all they have to offer is you need to do this, 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 and this. And then when you slip, you're cut off. And there's a critical attitude and a critical spirit. God wants us to show love. Yes, we hold the truth. We don't back off of the truth. We're not easy on giving space for saying something that's wrong and saying, no, it can be right. We hold it to the line and the plummet, but we give people space and we show love and we show concern and we do what we can to lift people up, not push people down. Let's be willing to give of ourselves this morning. Let's be willing to serve with love. Life is not all about you. That's right. Your life is not all about you. And I believe that when we can get to the place where we internalize that message, that life and fulfillment, real fulfillment, is about serving God and serving people, that is when we will get our hands around abundant life. And if you're here today and you find an emptiness in your life and you're having a hard time living what you believe a life of a Christian is, and you're struggling with that and you haven't found fulfillment, and the life of a Christian doesn't look attractive, and it doesn't look like something that you may want, and you're just doing time. You're just trying to get through. You're trying to meet the expectations of other people. But you don't have the joy of the Lord. Many times it's because we're focused too much on ourselves. It's a paradox. It appears like one thing, but really it's something else. Fulfillment, it would seem, would come from satisfying yourself, wouldn't it? If I want to be fulfilled, if I want to be satisfied, do those things which satisfy my flesh. And yet, the paradox in that is that it's really fulfillment for me, for you, is found in serving God and serving other people. I'd like to close this morning in 1 John. And the fourth verse, 1 John 4th chapter and the 7th verse, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." The 11th verse said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Verse 20 says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Saying that we love is not the same as having love and showing love. Let's have the real deal this morning. Let's never lose sight of God's will and His purpose for us. And that is that we would show Him love above all things. And secondly, that we would live our lives so that those around us would not just hear that we love them, but that they would feel our love by the conduct of our lives. May God bless these thoughts to your hearts is my prayer. Amen.